Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Now, there are hundreds of different animals mentioned in the Bible. And in some cases, those animals are used to describe or refer to the Lord. So we think about the Lord using the imagery or the qualities of some of these animals. So the Lord is described as the Lion of Judah. The Lord is described as the Lamb who was slain. The Lord is described as an eagle, also a bull or an oxen, and a dove. Perhaps you have a favorite image that you like to think about the Lord as when you're not thinking about him as Jesus, the man who walked on earth. Perhaps you have a favorite. I have a favorite. My favorite animal for thinking about the Lord is the chicken. And that might seem funny, but it's because of the reading in Genesis and also a reading in the Gospel of John. I don't know if any of you have kept chickens. They call them chooks in Australia. But chickens are wonderful mothers. And when they get the idea in their heads that they are going to start gathering eggs and sitting on them, it's impossible to dissuade them from doing that. I was reading about incubators because some people dispense with the chicken and they get the eggs and they raise the eggs themselves in a box with heat and movement of air and controlling the moisture. But there's a lot involved in it, because not only do you have to regulate the temperature and the humidity, but you have to turn those eggs every day. And somehow the mother chicken knows how to do that. And you know, after the babies are born, they gather around the mother, and if she makes a warning sound, they hide under her wings, and her care and her worrying over them is just amazing to watch. The Lord said in John, this was on Palm Sunday, he came out from the Mount of Olives and he looked out over the city and he wept. And he said, O Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. I love that image of the Lord as a hen gathering the chicks under her wings. And Swedenborg suggests that when the book of Genesis refers to the Spirit of God as hovering or brooding over the waters, it's an allusion to that verse in John and to the idea that the Lord broods over us like a chicken does. Let's read from Secrets of Heaven 19. The Spirit of God stands for the Lord's mercy, which is portrayed as moving constantly, like a hen brooding over her eggs. What is being brooded over in this instance is what the Lord stores away in us, which throughout the world is called a remnant or survivors. It is a knowledge of truth and goodness, which can never emerge into the light of day until our outer nature has been devastated, which happens in the process of trials and temptations when we want to flee from that part of us that we've seen that disturbs us. Such knowledge the knowledge that the Lord is brooding over, is here called the face of the waters. And although this is describing what happened on the first day or in the first state of the process of regeneration, I want to emphasize that throughout our whole lives, the Lord is brooding over the waters, that is, caring for and managing these states. And what is being brooded over or cared for by the Lord are the living states of love that have been stored away in us. These living states of love are referred to in the Bible using the word remnant or sometimes remains. And historically, it comes from the idea that whenever the human race was failing, or whenever the people of Israel were failing as a nation, then the Lord provided there would be at least a few who would be there to rebuild the kingdom. So, for example, in the story of the flood in the book of creation, Genesis, there is Noah and his family and all of the various animals that are gathered together, and they're a remnant. And they remained after everything on earth was destroyed. And of course, we know this story is an allegory of what happens as the Lord is regenerating us. So a remnant is the people who were preserved during captivity. When the Assyrians came in and conquered Israel and they took all of the people of Israel away and dispersed them throughout the known world, they kept the strongest and the fittest, the most educated people, and had them as servants in Assyria. And then later they were allowed to go back to the land of Israel to restore the kingdom. And that's the function of the remnant. So we can think about the function of the remnant in us is that the Lord gives us these states, states of love. And those states of love are experienced by us, especially in infancy. So you think about the little baby. The baby will smile and we don't know why. The baby will giggle or laugh and we don't know why, but the Lord is giving that child states of delight. And I imagine that most of the time it's because that baby is in the presence of and feels the joy of the angels who are with it. And of course, when we pick up that baby and we hold it and we see the joy on its face, we feel that joy in ourselves. And the Lord actually talks to us through the baby. But those things aren't lost. You know, if you have anger or you have sadness or you have jealousy or hunger or some other feeling, it comes and goes. No, you don't. But the states of love that the Lord plants in us, especially in infancy, but also through childhood, they remain. No matter what we're doing, no matter how low we go in our lives, those things remain. So, for example, we read in Secrets of Heaven 17, it's not in your book, Secrets of Heaven number 1738 says, "A remnant is all the phases of love and charity. Therefore, all the phases of innocence and peace with which we are gifted." And you know, we are gifted with states of joy, of pleasure, of innocence, of peace. We have these experiences throughout our lives. And whenever we have them, they're stored up. Nothing is ever lost. We can destroy our connection to them by persistent choices to do what we know is wrong. But the Lord is continually working that they'll be there should we ever wish to turn to Him. The remnant, we are told, holds spiritual and heavenly life in it. And there's a passage in the teachings of the New Church that says that if we didn't have this life in us, then the Lord couldn't be there with us. But because we have these states of response to what is good, response to what is loving, we have these states and we can go back to them and remember them or feel them again, then he's able to be there with us in those feelings. And also the angels. The Lord is working, we read in Secrets of Heaven 6 or 560, the Lord is working by means of a remnant. And this is what allows a person to seem human, to learn what is good and true, to reflect on particular instances of it, and so to think and reason. This remnant alone has spiritual and heavenly life. You can't hardly understate the importance of these things. And even though it's not talked about extensively in the teachings of the New Church, it's there, you hear people sometimes referring to remains, and those are those good qualities that we have in us from the Lord. There's a passage that says, they're not acquired by education. And I find that very interesting because it seems like, you know, we get taught knowledges and those knowledges come to us from the outside by means of teachers or parents or other people, friends. And certainly that happens, that takes place. But the teaching actually happens by the Lord connecting our conscious thought to those feelings and ideas. And so we're told that the Lord alone teaches and leads. You know, a thought comes into your mind and you turn to it and you hold on to it and you think about it, and then it comes back another time and it moves you or influences you. And that's the power of the Lord working through the things he has taught us before that are joined to these feelings of love and peace. And they work, they accomplish the process of regeneration. Without remains, we would just go on our merry way, consumed by our desires and appetites and interests in the world, and we would never have a spiritual thought. We would never be affected by anything loving. We would just be consumed by our own external life. But there are these remains, which are things we have experienced. Because, you know, the little baby experiences tenderness, experiences love, it experiences being cared for, it experiences the presence of the angels, it experiences the joys of the Lord. And those things are there. And you can imagine yourself going along and you see someone in need, and the feeling you have of wanting to respond is the Lord working through some of those remains. Without that remains, he would have nothing to work into. They are the life. And they're protected by the Lord. You know, as we speak about things like the terrible twos, the state of childhood when the child begins to be aware that he is somebody different than his parents and that he has his own wants or needs, and that sometimes the parent opposes what he wants or she wants. As we grow, we become more and more involved in what feels like our own life. And sometimes that own life takes us pretty far away from the Lord and the things that our parents were trying to instill in us and the things that we were learning from good mentors. Takes us far away because we are focused on ourselves or focused on what we want. But during that time, the remnant is preserved, just the way Noah and his family and the animals were preserved in the ark. They are never lost. The Lord always, to eternity, keeps those things safe in the innermost part of our minds. There's the story of the woman clothed with the sun who was about to give birth. And when she gave birth to this child, the child was lifted up to heaven. And that's an image of the way the Lord lifts up our remains so that we can't dismiss them or rebuke them or laugh at them or say, what a stupid thing that was. They're held in a safe place by the Lord until He's ready, until we're ready to respond to them and to actually feel that feeling and begin to turn and live. Without remains, we would never turn and live. Without remains, we would never have our eyes opened. So, as I said to the children, that's not something that happens just like this. It's a process like the dawn. And the Lord uses one remain in one moment and another state in another to gradually open our eyes and bring us to a deeper awareness of heavenly things and of the working of the Lord in our lives. This is Secrets of Heaven number 20. It is in your readings here. Genesis 1:3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The first step is taken when we begin to realize that goodness and truth are something transcendent. People who focus exclusively on externals do not even know what is good or what is true. Everything connected with self-love and love of worldly advantages they consider good. And anything that promotes the two loves they consider true. They are unaware that such goodness is evil and such truth false. When we are conceived anew, however, we first begin to be aware that our good is not good. And as we advance further into the light, it dawns on us. I love that the word dawn comes in there. You know, as we advance further into the light, it dawns on us that the Lord exists and that He is goodness and truth itself. All these states of creation, everything that happens in us or is stirred or awakened or comes to life, are the result of the Lord working through our remnant or through our remains. So on the back page of the pew card, there's a task, and it has a little reflection and a reference to the readings. The task says, spend some time thinking about your own personal history of spiritual creation or rebirth. When did you first become aware of God or of spiritual things? How did God create light in your life? And I'm sure we all have stories. I was thinking last night as I went over this about several times in my life where I was feeling helpless and hopeless, in pain and a lot of fear, and I was approached by a succession of people who expressed such tender caring for me and who wanted to help me and wanted to make sure that I was safe and to get me to a safe place at a hospital. And I was so moved by these people that it just woke me up to the possibility of goodness when we get out of ourselves and reach out to others. And it was like the light dawned. Perhaps you have a similar story. Perhaps you could share it with someone else sometime. You never know how those stories may affect other people and trigger their remains and awaken their awareness of the light. Amen.